encouraged. We've been going through this series to see the ways that God has been taking us deeper. And I've been so encouraged, even in the growth groups, that I've been hearing the conversation coming out of it about the Holy Spirit and about, oh man, I never knew that before. Or I never considered it like that. Or is this guy even Pentecostal? You know, that type of stuff too. Having some really great questions and some really good discussion about what does it mean for us to make space for the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. And talking about this as we go through. We started by talking about the Spirit as life. That, you know, there is no life without the Spirit. We see that from the very first page of the Bible. Bible page 1. We see the Spirit breathing life and engaged in the process of bringing things to life and sustaining life. And then we talked about the Spirit as guide. About how the Holy Spirit wants to be in the car with you. He wants to be right shotgun, leading and guiding our directions. And how often we put Holy Spirit in the trunk. Or we put him in the back seat and we actually don't make space for him to lead and guide our lives. And how we need to make space for the Holy Spirit is what Pastor Doug talked about last week. Making space for the Spirit in our lives in different ways. And so we have to cut in space and intentionally put different things into our lives in order to see God's presence move and work in and through us. And so this has been a really great series. But this week we're talking about the Holy Spirit as gift giver. Gift giver. Now, before I get to that, let me ask you a question. Are you a good gift giver? How many in this place would say, yeah, I'm a really good gift giver? Yeah, anybody in this place? A couple people? Just one? Two? Two people? Yeah? Okay, good. Two people. So the rest of y'all are great at receiving gifts. Just really bad at giving them. I appreciate your honesty. You know, because giving gifts is really hard, right? You got to have a whole bunch of different thoughts about it. You got to be really considerate. You got to get it at the right timing. It's got to move out from there to others, and in all these different types of things. So today is actually a special day for two reasons. Number one, it's Father's Day, and that's awesome. Number two, it's actually my birthday. Woo! Thank you. That's right. I have officially turned 17. And so it's my birthday today, on Christmas and these sorts of things, I infuriate my family, because when they ask, Zach, what do you want for your birthday, or what do you want for Christmas, and that sort of thing, I infuriate them because I only ever give like one or two things, because I'm like, I only want like one or two things. It's usually like one or two big things, like a Ferrari or a Porsche. But so there's a couple, like, I only ask usually for one or two things. And so, you know, those of us that are really good gift givers, you can kind of get frustrated by that. You're like, oh, I want to give something really thoughtful. And Alandra's great at this. She wants to give something thoughtful to me. She doesn't want to, you know, just do what everything else is doing. So this time around, this birthday, I've been playing guitar a lot more. I've been really enjoying that. So I said, I want to save up for a new guitar. So I said, you know, I want money for a new guitar. So I'm telling my family that, which is great. But if you think about that as a spouse, she gives me money for a new, that doesn't really work. You know, hey, honey, I took out $50 from my bank account. Great, I'll go put it back. It doesn't really work that well. It kind of makes it a little bit tricky to take money out and just put it back in like that. So I don't make it easy to give me gifts. And so I'm saving for a new guitar right now. And so maybe that'll be something I get from my family members. But Alandra told me this morning, and she says, you know, Zach, you're getting a new guitar. I'll buy you a guitar case. I thought, oh, that's wonderful. So thanks, hon. Appreciate that. We'll get a new guitar case after, which is good. But to get a good gift, there needs to be a couple different types of things. To have a gift, for it to be meaningful, it's quite complex. You got to work on a couple different levels of thoughtfulness and attentiveness for it to actually work. There's a few things. So, number one, a gift needs to be considerate for it to be meaningful to somebody. It needs to be considerate, you know? It has to fit the person well, fit their personality, has to fit their likes, has to fit their wirings. It needs to be thought through about you as a person, you know? Don't give me something that doesn't fit for me, you know? That's it. But another good gift, a good gift comes at the right time as well. How many know that it's not necessarily the thing always, but if it comes at the right time, it can be a huge blessing. Like, I don't know how many of you, our care team, they serve so faithfully here at Cornerstone, there's been times of grief that people have gone through at Cornerstone, and they show up at your door with a casserole. That gift comes at the right time. How many know that the gift, when it comes at the right time, makes it a really meaningful gift? Another gift, too, that is really important and meaningful is a gift that cascades out to others. A gift that doesn't just help you as the individual, but blesses actually those around you. And these are some of the best gifts, the gifts that actually touch those around you. I remember a number of years ago, we gave my dad a welder for his birthday as a gift. And he used that welder to build so many different things to bless others around him that it became a very useful gift cascading out to others. And today, I want us to explore the gifts of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit as gift giver and the gifts that he gives to each of us. Now, in full disclosure, we are a Pentecostal church, a Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada church. And for us as Pentecostals, we believe that making space for the things of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our gatherings is central for us to be effective followers of Jesus. And it is absolutely central for us to be effective in finding true joy and true life as we transform the world together through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's absolutely central. And I believe that God has gifts for each of us through His Holy Spirit. For all of us. Even as we heard this morning, Bill, thank you so much for having the courage to share what God was laying on your heart. That's a gift of knowledge, a gift of prophecy to encourage, to exhort, to build up the church. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And God has given gifts like that to all of us in different ways. You might say, well, I don't ever want to do that. I don't really feel wired towards it. That's fine. God's wired you differently. He's given you unique gifts and abilities. And we're going to see this today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have a Bible here this morning, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we're going to be camping out here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see Paul writing to a church, this young church. This church that's only been around for a couple of years, and they've got some issues. They've got a few issues. If you're reading through 1 Corinthians, you will see very quickly there is quite a lot of stuff that he does not commend them on. He actually criticizes them on quite a bit. Because while they're working in the Spirit, and they're seeing God move and work in incredible ways to set people free, miracles happening, encouragement, all of these amazing things, at the same time, they're a little bit immature. And they're also acting a little bit like crazy goofballs. They're all showing off with their different gifts to show off to one another. And so Paul comes to bring some correction and some teaching to bring them back into line. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. We'll get this up on the screen here as well. So now, about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, that phrase, spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit. If you look at that in your Bible, in the NASB or the American Standard Version, you might see it actually italicized. And that's to indicate that that phrase, that word, gifts, actually isn't there in the Greek. It's not there, literally. If you were to read this literally, what Paul is literally saying is, now about the spirituals, or now about spiritual things. It's been added in the English to help us make sense of the text, because otherwise it doesn't make sense to us as we're reading through it. It's been added for us English speakers to understand what's going on. But what Paul is saying is, now about the things that the Spirit does, or the activities of the Spirit, I want you to understand spiritual things. This is how the Spirit operates. Now the reason Paul says this is to help us to avoid the thought that these gifts of the Spirit are like Christian superpowers. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome to have, like, Christian superpowers, right? You know, like, super speed for one, super strength for another, super flexibility for somebody else. That'd be awesome. Like, you got the Incredibles in the Sunday service. That'd be so great. Like, wow, I can prophesy. Wow, I can heal people. Wow, you know, I must be something special. And Paul says, no. It's like this because he's helping us to see that the activity of the Spirit working through you to bless others around you. It's less about possessing a gift, and more about being ready to be used by the Spirit in community. That's what this is really about. This is the activity of the Spirit. These are the spiritual things you need to be aware of. So he goes on, he says, now the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Some of your translations, it might say, not wanting you to be ignorant. Why? Because this is important and beneficial for both you and those around you this morning. Just look to your left and look to your right, real quick. Just look to your left. You know that person? Do you know them? Look to your right. You know that person? Introduce yourself if you don't know that person. Hey, how you going? I'm Zach. Nice to meet you. Glad you could join us today. The whole idea behind this series is he wants you to know and understand the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit and how he moves and works in your life, and so that it can transform the lives of those around you, on your left and on your right. That's what the Spirit's moving is about. And Paul acknowledges, though, he goes on, he says, I want to bless those around you, but he acknowledges also the world that we live in. Verse 2, he goes on, he says, now listen, you know that when you were pagans, now that word pagans simply means Gentiles, non-Jewish people, outsiders. Now you know that when you were outsiders, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Now Corinth was a city filled with temples. It was a religious city in ancient Greek gods. And I love the way Paul just throws a jab at them right here. Just jabs at them, calling them mute idols, useless, worthless. They might as well just be good luck charms. That's really all they are. It's easy for us as Westerners to say, well, you know, I don't really have idols in my life. I've never worshipped a stone statue. But we forget this. An idol is simply anything that we place our hope and security in. That's quite simply it. In a modern Canadian context, we place our hope and security in many things, and our idols become things like money. Our idols become things like sexual fulfillment. Our idols become things like family time, even. And whatever it is that we place our hope and our security in, apart from Jesus, can become an idol. And Paul says, look, these things, they will lead you astray if you make them the center of your life. And he goes on and he says, look, therefore, verse 3, I want you to know that nobody who is speaking by the Holy Spirit of God ever says these strange words, Jesus be cursed. That's strange. And no one ever says, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've mentioned this a few times already, but the only way somebody can come to know Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. That's it, plain and simple. There's not this twofold, there's the Christians that have the Spirit and the Christians that don't have the Spirit. No. You either have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. You're either a Christian or you're not. That's simply it. Paul says, he's touching on here, though, is that there are other spiritual powers out there. And there are people in touch with spiritual powers that are very real that can mess you up. These are real things. They're hollow counterfeits of the truth of God and the power and love of God for you, but they can still mess you up. And what Paul is saying is that if you want to experience genuine life-giving power moving in and through your life, it's going to be in the context of Christian community. Nobody who has the Spirit of God in them says Jesus is cursed. They actually say Jesus is Lord, because they point to the one that is actually willing to satisfy you and fill you up. And when the Spirit is at work, he leads us to the life giver. And he leads us, and we're all built up together in him. It points people to Jesus when the Spirit's at work. And then Paul gets the good part, the part that we're all looking forward to see. Verse 4, now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now, that word there, verse 4, the word he uses for Greek in charisma, that one actually does mean gifts. Actually, one is real gifts. And it means a divine grace or a divine empowerment. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of workings, but in it all and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, do you notice, I highlighted them in red here for us on the screen. Different, same, different, same, different, same. Do you notice that? What is Paul doing here? This is back and forth of this. And notice how he's talking about the different ways the Spirit works among us. But at the same time, he's emphasizing how it all comes from the same Lord, the same Spirit, for the same purpose. And what Paul is doing here is whenever he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he talks about what unifies before he talks about what diversifies. Because the gifts of the Spirit, in order for them to work effectively and in a right and healthy way, they must be used within the context and the unity of a local church centered around three things: loving God, loving others, and making disciples. Those are your boundary lines. Your boundary lines: loving God, loving others, making disciples. These are the boundary lines. And when you are in a church that is centered and unified around those three things, that is when the gifts can be used in a healthy, right, productive way. But when the gifts are used outside of that context, that's when things start to get wonky. And that's what Paul's talking about with this church. Paul's stressing the unity of the body over everything else, which provides the foundation for the diversity of the body that grows out of it. Because without this unity, groups of people can become polarized and splintered. And I know we see this. You hear stories of churches that break up and these weird, terrible things happen. It's just, what is going on? That's not God's call for the church. He never wants a church to break up. Paul is saying, before we learn anything about our diversity or the differing gifts the Spirit gives, we need to focus on our unity and the things we have in common. And he says something that some of us might not like. He says, you're basically all the same. Which is hard for us in our modern culture. Because in our culture, everyone's special. Isn't that right? Everyone's unique. Everyone's special, you know? But Paul says that that is the exact attitude that will get you in trouble and send you right off the tracks. If you think you're special, if you think you're God's gift to the world, you're in no place to be used at him at all. As a matter of fact, he says, look at your brothers and sisters. He says, look around. He says, you're all of a diverse background. History, gender, race, socioeconomic condition. You all came to Jesus, though, the same way. Every person came to Jesus the same way by his Spirit. Every Christian did. My salvation is no less miraculous, no less powerful, it's no less amazing than yours. It's exactly the same. And when you realize that your belief in God is a gift of God and you didn't earn it in any way, then you can receive what other good gifts he also has for you with an attitude of humility and grace to bless and encourage others. That's when the gifts can be used right. Because you didn't earn it anyway. And you can't earn the gifts of the Spirit either. But when you realize this, you also realize that it's within this unity that we have here, when you're all on level ground, that God can give freely to us based on our different personalities and our temperaments. Because this is a very diverse room. Right? Age, gender, race, demographics, everything. Tons of change in this room. Huge. And when there's that diversity that's among us, even when we know that unity is there, then the diversity can be talked about. So it goes on to verse 7. Verse 7, he says, now to each one, that is every Christian, receives spiritual gifts. Well, Pastor Zach, you can't mean me. No, I do. I mean you. Every Christian receives spiritual gifts. That is, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And it's always for the common good. Always for building up, edifying, liberating others for the good of the community, to encourage people. Every one of you has been given spiritual gifts, whether or not you know it. You might be sitting here today thinking, wow, I can't preach, Zach. I can't prophesy. So he can't possibly mean me. No, I do. I mean you. Every single person has been given spiritual gifts. You have unique abilities that have come to you freely as a gift for the purpose of ministering to and serving the needs of others. That's what this is about. And then Paul gets into this list. Now, this is not a complete list. There's a couple different lists in Scripture. You can kind of compile them a number of different ways. But this is one of the main lists that he gives in verse 8. He goes through. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit, he also gives healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, that is, discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, that is, everyone, just as he determines. So here's the bottom line. There's the main bottom line you need to understand this morning. Is that every Christian is in ministry. No one is merely a consumer of services. Everyone is a distributor. So let me ask you this morning. How's your ministry going? Anybody? How's your ministry going? I'm asked that all the time. Zach, you're a pastor. Of course you're asked it all the time. Zach, how's your ministry going? No. It's not just because I'm a pastor. It's not different. We've all been given gifts. I've been given gifts of teaching, leading, and administration, just as every one of you has been given gifts. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, you have abilities by the Spirit in order to minister to others. What does minister mean? Minister simply means serve. You have gifts of the Spirit to serve others. So when was the last time you served somebody? Loved somebody? Encouraged somebody? How's your service? How's your ministry going? Because if you're a Christian, you're not merely a consumer, you are a distributor. Mike Miller at Nova Church says that every Christian is a dealer. In every back room, boardroom, and bedroom, you're a dealer of hope, you're a dealer of joy, you're a dealer of peace, encouragement, grace. Turn to your neighbor, just say, I'm a dealer this morning. You might say to me, though, Zach, that's great and all, but, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to deal. You might look at that list I threw up on there and think, wow, that's quite a lot. What am I supposed to do with that? And you're right. That is a lot. There's a lot going on there. And, you know, if you want to go deeper in this and you want to understand this, we're just going to do a quick covering on it this morning. But if you want to go deeper with this, I really want to encourage you. Tomorrow night and Tuesday night, we're continuing with our growth groups this week. And I want to encourage you, it's a little late in the game, but you can still jump right in. You're not going to miss anything. You'll just jump right in where we got. And Dr. Van is going to continue to unpack this in greater detail. And we've got extra notes for those who are planning to join us this week so we can really go into this and talk about what the gifts of the Spirit mean and what they look like to us. Zach, I don't understand this. I really want to encourage you. Come to Growth Group Monday or Tuesday night. It'll be really great. But there are 3 to 4 different lists of gifts in Scripture. And there's just simply too many for us to go through. I'm not going through all of them this morning. It'd be too much. It'd be too long. We wouldn't get anything out of it. But we're going to do a quick category search on this morning. Because theologians have categorized this in different ways throughout history. And there's a really great category that they've given us that really helps us to understand this, to really break it down. And they break up into 3 categories that can help us understand how the gifts of the Spirit work in and through our lives. So I need 3 volunteers this morning. I have 3 volunteers today. I need somebody with a collared shirt. Can I get somebody with a collared shirt on this morning to come help me first? Somebody with a collared shirt. Who's got a collared shirt? Anybody? Come on. Right up, yeah. Woo! Okay, we got a hand for Dwight. Yeah, come on. That's great. Come on, right up. Yeah, stand up over here. I need somebody with a loud voice. Somebody with a loud voice. Who's got a loud voice this morning? Somebody? Somebody? Anybody? Kevin? Kevin Burns. Come on up. Yeah, come on, Kevin. Woo! Everybody give Kevin a hand. Yeah? Yeah, come on. There you go. There you go. Good. And come on right up here. That's great. And I need somebody with a small head. Who's got a small head? Somebody, anybody, let's come up here. Who wants to wear a crown? That's really the question. Who? Anybody? One more volunteer. Let me volunteer somebody else. Who? Anybody? Come on. Craig? Come on. Give Craig a hand as he comes up this morning, guys. Come on. Awesome. So we're talking about 3 different categories of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to people this morning. You guys are in the perfect order too, which is great. So there's 3 categories of gifts that we give. The first one is the vocal gifts. And we say these are the prophetic gifts. So Kevin, I've given you a little thing there for you. This is your prophecy horn. And the prophetic gifts, they're the talking gifts. They're the vocal gifts, the ones that we like to talk about lots. You know, that's the ones that we speak out like that. So that's the first one. The second one are the priestly gifts. So the priestly gifts, I'm just going to need you to, right there, we'll just put that, the priestly collar. Can we do that? There you go. There you go. They used to do this in the olden days. You know, the priest would wear the collar right there across the front. So the priestly collar, there we go. If we can get the other specific. Perfect. Lovely. That's the way to do it. Now the priestly gifts, these are the serving gifts. These are the ones where you got people in action. There you go. That's perfect. Serving just like that. Excellent. And the last one.
Get to the point.
And the last one are the kingly gifts, which these are. Thank you very much. Looking good. Hold still. And the kingly gifts, those are the leadership gifts that you see in the church. People are leading in different ways. So you guys just stay up here for a moment with me. We're going to get through this in just a moment. But now, why do we use these terms, priest, prophet, and king? It's because in the Old Testament, we see these are the 3 main ways that God communicates through his people to other people. These are 3 main ways. You see in the Old Testament, that this is the way that God speaks through prophets, he speaks through kings, and he speaks through priests. These are the main 3 people he communicates through. And then as we come to the person of Jesus in the New Testament, he says, I am the embodiment of all 3 wrapped into one. I'm the priest, I'm the prophet, I'm the king. And you are now a reflection of me. So when you look at Jesus and you say, I need to be a reflection of Jesus. He said, I'm the priest, prophet, king. I prophesied and you're going to prophesy. I'm the king and you're going to rule and reign with me. I am the priest that serves my people. I want you to serve with me. And so you have these three different roles in the Testament. And Jesus takes his place in each of these. And so now we got the prophetic gift. Now this is really simply this. If you have prophetic gifts, you have the ability to understand truth and articulate it in a way that is helpful to others. That's quite simply it. If you have the prophetic gifts, you have the gift to understand truth and articulate it in a way that is helpful to others. That's how you know if you have the prophetic gifts. You understand scripture, you know the will of God in difficult situations, and these different types of things. So there's a couple different categories you get there. You get stuff like exhortation. Thanks, brother. So exhortation, that's just encouragement for people. When people just seem to say to you all the time, you just always have the right thing to say. You know, if you have the gift of exhortation, people say about you, you just always know the right thing to say. Whenever I come to you, you just seem to know. You're so encouraging whenever I talk to you. I'm so encouraged by my time. You have the gift of teaching. That is the ability to understand and communicate difficult truths. Some people think they have the gift of teaching, and they really have the gift of researching. You know, they get up there and they just give a ton of information, and it's not actually very helpful to others. You have the gift of teaching if you can understand difficult things and communicate them in a way that is helpful to others. There's also the gift of prophecy. Thank you. Prophecy. Prophecy is really just hearing God's voice. That's all that one is. Prophecy is just hearing God's voice and just knowing the will of God. We say, you know, the prophetic gifts, yeah, but it's really just being able to know God's voice and speaking something through you to encourage others. That's what prophecy is. Then we look at something like evangelism. Evangelism. Evangelism is the ability to communicate thoughtfully. Thoughtfully and lovingly to others. You can communicate. You can communicate thoughtfully and lovingly to others. You just have a passion to run after people who don't know Jesus. That's what evangelism is. You got discernment. Discernment is just the ability to understand things and to see things from God's point of view. When things are fuzzy, you can see things from God's point of view. You just seem to understand it really well. Knowledge. You just have thoughts. Thank you. You just have thoughts about different situations that just come to mind. You just understand things all the time that others don't seem to understand. You know, you just have the ability to see different things. Gifts of knowledge. Sometimes with gifts of knowledge, you'll receive pictures in your mind sometimes. You'll see a thought or an idea that God is communicating to you, a word of knowledge, you might say, that you just understand things to others. There's the apostolic or the entrepreneurial type of gift. We got a lot on this guy. Then we got tongues. So that's the ability to speak in unlearned languages. Then we got interpretation of tongues. And so those are kind of the prophetic gifts. Those are the talking gifts. And then we get the priestly gifts. So these are the ones, the priestly gifts. Here's how you know if you have the priestly gifts. You have priestly gifts if you see the needs of others and you know how to meet those needs. If you see the needs of others and you know how to meet those needs and you just get fired up about the idea of helping people in need. That's what you know if you have the gift. You just get totally fired up about that. Giving is one of those gifts. So this is being able to supply the basic needs of people. You see the needs, but you also know how to meet the needs. You have the ability to meet people's needs through giving. Service. This is for people that have the service gift. This is like, man, don't put me in the limelight, but give me a hammer and nails and I'll get stuff done. I know lots of people like this. I know people say, I don't want to be on stage, but I want to let me just serve in the background. That is my area. That's the gift of service. The gift of helps. Man, you just love coming alongside people. There's nothing you would love more than just to support somebody else and to see them succeed. That's what the gift of helps looks like. The gift of mercy. I love the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is when everybody else has given up on you, you don't give up on them. When you see somebody in need and they're in pain and everybody else says you're just a lost cause, the gift of mercy runs towards those type of people and says, I'm with you. I've got your back. This is the gift of hospitality. This is, man, there's nothing I love more than just hosting people in my home, having people over for meals. If I can make you feel welcomed, that's my gift. I love that. That's the gift of hospitality. The gift of healing actually falls in this category as well. Serving other people through healing. Praying for people to see them healed. Not just physically, but emotionally. To get them back into spiritual alignment with God. Be brought back into right places. The gift of miracles falls in this category as well. You see, gift of miracles. This is where God can begin to work through in miraculous ways. Weird things that you wouldn't expect to see happen. Start to look in Scripture. Jesus turned water into wine. What is the deal with that? Well, it's pointing people to Jesus. And God might work with you in certain ways with miracles to see things happen that way. And then lastly, we've got the kingly gifts. The kingly gifts. Now, this one, it can be a bit of a misnomer because the kingly gifts, you might mistakenly believe that this is the most important, but it's not. It really just speaks of that ability to lead and to speak and to have understanding different things. It simply refers to the ability to effectively lead other people. And here's how you know if you have the kingly gifts. You have kingly gifts if you have the ability to see and understand the direction and the needs of a group of people. That's what the kingly gifts look like. So you got leadership. Leadership is simply when you speak, people listen. You notice that whenever you're in a group of people, people seem to always turn to you and they say, what do you think we should do? That's if you know you have those. You also have the gift of administration. Now, that's something you wouldn't think about. But it actually is a kingly gift. It's a leadership gift to be able to administrate and to help things go on. I had a professor in college. He used to say, admin adds to the min. Admin adds to the ministry that you're able to do. And it actually makes space for more ministry to happen. This is also the gift of wisdom. To talk about wisdom, you just seem to have insights into different things that God is moving. You get to see them from His perspective. And the last one is the gift of faith. Like to have faith to believe that God is moving and working even when others can't see it. And then maybe they've given up on it. That's the kingly gift. You've got faith to believe that God is working on your behalf. Now, a couple notes about these wonderful gentlemen that we have with us today. Don't they look great? Give me a hand. Come on, let's give them a hand. A couple of notes about these guys this morning. Number one, not one of these gifts is any more important than the others. Not a single one of them. We have a tendency to elevate certain things that we feel are important. And Jesus said at the end times, people would chase after signs and wonders, and they would elevate the gifts, and they'd elevate the people more than anything else, and say, wow, you're so gifted. Look at all these things that God is doing in your life. You must be something special. If that's the case, the gifts are being used out of alignment, because the gifts always point people to Jesus. That's the point there. And not any one of these is any more important than the others. We might desire some other ones, but the kingly gifts, well, that sounds important. I want those. No, as a matter of fact, they're all incredibly useful. We don't worship the gift of the person who uses the gift. We worship the gift giver, the one behind the gift. You can be gifted also, number two, in any three of these categories. You can have a little bit of prophecy, a little bit of hospitality, and a little bit of wisdom. As a matter of fact, you probably want some wisdom if you're prophesying. You probably want a little bit of hospitality if you're teaching, right? And these different areas that God will give you, they're not just strictly in these three categories. You can get a mix of each of these different categories. You know, see, a person who wants to lead but is unwilling to serve has no business leading. A person who wants to prophesy but is unwilling to follow leadership is a loose cannon. And so you need to work on developing and growing a mixed balance of the gifts God has given you. And number three, nobody has them all. Nobody but Jesus has them all. That's why we need to be in community with each other so we can see that. Can you imagine if we found ourselves out of balance as a community? You know, we've got all talking gifts, but no serving gifts. We'd be inspired, but we'd get nothing done. Right? Or you get all serving gifts and no leadership gifts. We would be busy doing a whole lot of stuff, but we don't know if we're going in the right direction. We need in the church a mix of people who are gifted in every single one of these areas for this to work. We need people in the church that are gifted in each of these spaces that God has given us for us to be moving effectively on mission. And these guys are exemplifying really great this morning, these gifts. Would you give them a hand as they return to their seats? Come on. Thanks, guys. You guys can go. Thanks, guys. I hope that can help you to visualize a little bit about what the gifts look like and how they work in our lives. But the question we come to then is, okay, that's great, Zach, but how do I discover what spiritual gifts God has given me? Has anybody ever wondered that?
How do I discover what spiritual gifts God has given me? I want to give you three words this morning. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. There's a little space in your bulletin, by the way. If you want to open that up, there's a little space for you to write this down. Three words that can help you understand your fit and what gifts God has given to you. The first word is simply this: affinity. And that can be described as this: what moves you? When you look inside at yourself, don't look outside at others. Don't look inside at yourself, look outside at others. What people's needs resonate with you? You know, you don't start with yourself. It's rather, what are you drawn to? What burdens you about your community? The concrete needs in our church, in our town, in your school, your neighborhood, your people. What reverberates in you? When you look at our kids, are you moved with passion that they might discover and know Jesus for themselves? Are you moved when you see someone coming to Cornerstone for the first time and you just want to welcome them and make them feel like they're at home here? You know, are you moved by the background stuff? You know, like, I don't put me on stage, but I will happily help organize and facilitate change to move things forward, to touch people far from God. That's what I want to do. What moves you? Because that is an indication of how God's Spirit can move within you by His Spirit towards others. Number two is ability. Because you might have an affinity towards something, but you might have zero ability in that area. So what are your gifts and your abilities? What are you good at? You know, a great example might be, you might be moved by worship. You might love it, but you couldn't carry a tune if we put it in a bucket for you. You know, there's some people that you love to worship, and that's great. I want you to worship. I want you to sing, but we're probably not going to give you a microphone and put you up on stage if you can't do that, you know? And I think that's reasonable, because these different ways that God has gifted us with abilities to do stuff. You might have a passion to do something, but if you have no ability in that area, that might not be the area that God has gifted you in. You see, Paul had an affinity towards people far from God because he was far from God. And then he used his ability in understanding and in communicating the scripture to effectively reach out to those people. What do people say you're good at? It's a good question. This is one of the best ways to discover your ability. Ask somebody who knows you and loves you. On the drive home today, ask your spouse, what areas of my life am I most effective? And if they really love you and if they know you, they will give you a gift. They will give you a gift. And you want to know what the gift that only others can give you? It's the gift of feedback. Some of us need the gift of feedback in our lives. And that's incredibly important, to allow others to speak into us and to not shut that down just because we don't like what we're hearing. But I'm super passionate about singing, Zach. Yeah, but you're not very good. You know? That's good feedback, because it'll keep you from being embarrassed. And it'll help you to find what your true giftings are so you can grow in those different areas. And they'll tell you the truth. Like, as Alandra will say to me, she says, Zach, you're not as funny as you think you are. I, you know, and that's fair. You know, I don't have a strong ability in the area of comedic entertainment, and that's fine. On the way home from church today, ask your spouse, ask your friend, what's an area that you see in my life that I'm good at? And be open to receive some feedback, even if it's not exactly what you think. You're really good at this. So you have affinity, you've got ability, but lastly, you also got opportunity. Opportunity is an interesting one. This is really important for us to understand. Because what doors of service are open for us? What actually needs to get done? Because if you're not careful, you can participate in something that I like to call gift cop-out. Do you know what that is? Gift cop-out's like this. Somebody else has the gift of evangelism, so I don't need to evangelize. Somebody else has got the gift of giving, so I don't need to give. Some of you might have the gift of evangelism, meaning that you are particularly passionate and effective about it, but every Christian is called to evangelize. Somebody might have the gift of leadership, but every Christian is called to be a leader of their families and in their homes. Some of you might have the gift of giving, but we're all called to be generous. It's like going home afterwards for lunch, and Alandra and I are going to have lunch together. You know, we just did a really good job of cleaning the house up yesterday, but we're going to make some more dishes, you know, afterwards. And so we make a mess, and we clean the kitchen up. And so I go ahead to say to her, well, darling, my giftings are kingly. And I know yours are service and priestly, so I don't want to steal away the opportunity to serve. So why don't I let you do the dishes So you can find some joy in that. And I'll just go sit on the couch and pray. How many know that's not going to work? Right? And yet, there are times and there are opportunities that arise around us when we don't feel particularly gifted, but we still have the opportunity to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And God can still use us in that in an incredible way if we jump in. And even as we do that, and as we're receiving feedback from others, a funny thing will begin to happen. You'll often begin to notice, if you just start to do something because there's opportunity, and you have a willing and open heart to jump in and do what God has put in your path to do, you'll notice your heart start to change towards it. You'll notice your passions start to change. 2 Thessalonians, the very end of the book, he says to the church there, he says, God, turn our hearts to the love of Christ. There's this turning of the heart towards the things that matter most. You know, and if you're really good at it, if you're really getting good at it as well, God will begin to develop and grow that gift in you. Because here's the thing. You can't give a gift to somebody with closed hands. You got to have open hands to receive a gift. And if you're saying, no, I'm only going to serve with what I've got or what I'm willing to do, God will never give you more gifts than what you currently have. And you'll never grow in what you do have. But if you're willing to say, God, use me wherever you want to, even if it's an opportunity that doesn't fit with my affinity or my ability, watch and see how God begins to change you and make it work. God will put opportunities in your path to be used. If you have the courage and the faith to take them, you'll be surprised at what God will do. Your spiritual gifts are best discovered around other followers of Jesus. And you'll begin to see where, how, and what gets affirmed by the Spirit and by others as you start to move this out. Well, here's how I want to end this morning as the band returns today. I want us to understand three things that we do see the gift of the Spirit and how we can recognize what the Spirit does. Number one, recognize how considerate the gift giver is. Remember, meaningful gifts are considerate gifts. And the Spirit distributes gifts that are in line with our wiring and our personality. You might find that you just naturally love to encourage people. You might find that as you naturally encourage people and send them texts and just talk to them even on a Sunday, that develops into an understanding of the gifts. God will naturally take what you love to do and grow it and supernaturally transform it by his power to others. And so now your words are imbued with the very life-giving power of the Spirit as you serve and are open to be using that towards others. And that spiritual gift will grow out of your natural wiring as he uses you in that way. Because God is considerate and he won't force something on you don't want to do. He will push you. He will stretch you if you're stubborn or if you're stuck. But he will never force you to go where you don't want to go. Number two, you want to recognize how appropriate the gift giver is. Do you know what's awesome about the way Jesus designed the church? What's awesome is that there's people sitting around you that have needs on your left and on your right. And some of us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have the ability to meet those needs. You have the ability to meet the needs of the people on your left and on your right. And sometimes all we need to do is be open. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, he describes the gifts of the Spirit like this, with an express purpose in mind. The gifts are given for this express purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now, if you're the medical type here today, that word perfecting there, it means to put back into joint. The idea here that Paul's ripping off of is having a dislocated shoulder. You know, I'm playing sports and my shoulder is injured. And while my arm is still attached to my body, it's in a lot of pain. Some of you are sitting here today and you've been hit hard by life's circumstances. And you're still attached to the body of Christ, but right now you are in a lot of pain. You're feeling disjointed, from dislocated from the body. You're feeling disconnected, out of sorts. And Paul is saying, God has given you gifts. God has given all of us gifts to be like the medical professionals that know how to put that joint back in place, that know how to speak a word of healing, that know how to receive a word of knowledge, to pray for healing, that know how to meet the practical needs of one another through service so that that is what out of joint might not be broken, but might be healed. And what Paul is saying is supposed to be happening through us here today is that we're sitting in a church of people who feel dislocated. There's people among us today that feel disconnected. And as a matter of fact, we're all dislocated. We're dislocated emotionally. We're disconnected. Even though we're present in the room, we're not really there. We're not present at all. Maybe you feel dislocated physically. You're actually in physical pain right now, and you need somebody with the gift of healing to be praying for you today. Maybe you're feeling dislocated spiritually. You're out of alignment with God, and you're out of alignment with community. You don't feel like you belong. Maybe you feel dislocated financially, and you would love someone with the gift of administration to come and help you get back on track, to free you, to equip you, to help you, to build you up. Do you know what that's called? Edifying. For edifying the body of Christ. And what God wants to do is bring every part of the body into alignment and not to be dislocated, so that we can work together through the gift of the Spirit to liberate people, to minister to people, to give ourselves to those in need. I wonder how many people are waiting for you to step up, to be the difference maker in their life. I wonder how many people are waiting for you to walk up and use your gift of mercy to walk with somebody that everybody else has given up on. To use your gift of helps to support somebody who feels totally overwhelmed right now. To use your gift of encouragement to help somebody see the hope of Jesus again. You might be the difference maker in someone's life this week. Take what's dislocated and out of joint and put it back into alignment. But lastly, recognize how beneficial the gifts are to others. You know, when the gifts benefit you, you misunderstand the gifts. Prophesy, not to look spiritual, but to encourage and build somebody up with the very words of God to them in their situation, just like we heard this morning. To give, not to show your wealth, but because it's advancing the kingdom of God. Serve, not for recognition, but because it's building people up. I think we've all known people who have had "look at me" plastered across their chest as they've served. You know, they come up there and they want to show off. There are people in the Bible like this too. We see Samson, Saul, Balaam, Judas, gifted people. People that God wanted to use for incredible things, but serving in the wrong way with the wrong heart. Listen to what Jesus says to them when he sees them on the final day. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. I'm reading from the Message for us here this morning. At the final day of judgment, Jesus is talking. He says, "I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me." Can't you see it? "Strutting up to me and saying, 'Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking.' And do you know what I'm going to say to them? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself look important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here." You see the caution Jesus is describing. You can look at effectiveness as evidence that God is using you. But Jesus says that's an incredibly selfish way of thinking. Paul, later in the New Testament, expands on this with the development of the fruit of the Spirit that allows the gifts of the Spirit to benefit others and not ourselves. Because when there is love, joy, peace, patience rising in your life, you know what's at the center of all of that? Humility. Humility to say, it's not about me, it's about others. It's about God. One of the key indicators of whether the fruit of the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit comes first in someone's life is simply this: how do they respond when they're corrected? When you have to correct somebody, is there a humility about them? Can they be corrected? If the answer is no, when you bump out of them, you see what comes out. Is their heart in the right place? Are they wanting to be used by Jesus? You see, every believer in this place has gifts, abilities by the Spirit. I believe God has given each of you gifts, each of you abilities, that those that you will encounter this week, even tomorrow. He's just waiting for you to use them. Would you stand with me in this place as we conclude today? I'll find often when I pray a prayer like, "God, use me," and "God, show me," the first thing he does is he gives me an opportunity. And I believe that God wants to give you an opportunity this week to to discover and grow in your gifts. I believe he's going to give you an opportunity by helping you serve somebody else, to use your gifts of ability, of encouragement, to encourage somebody who's down, of administration, to pull things together and help something to succeed, of leadership by leading your family, leading your home, leading your business. I believe that God wants to give you an opportunity this week to develop and find your gifts. And I believe he's going to do that by giving you somebody you can serve. So who in your life can you serve this week? That's the simple question. As we were looking at that list, what resonated in your heart? What moves you? Because the gifts are for others. The gifts are for those around us that we can bless them and pour into them by God's Spirit. I want to simply ask us to come into a prayer of, God, I want to be used. I don't want to be on the sidelines. God, I'm a distributor. I'm a dealer. I'm in ministry. God, help me to serve as you have designed me to. So, Lord, I just pray for every person in this place today. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would give us all an opportunity this week to serve by your Spirit. That, God, you would give us an opportunity to discover and grow in the gifts that you have given us by serving and building up other people. God, I ask that you would make yourself known through us to those around us. Lord, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's coming alongside and helping, God, whether it's leading, prophesying, speaking a word of healing over somebody, God, whether it's having the faith to move when nobody else moves, God, whatever that thing is that you have given uniquely to us, Lord, we pray, use us. If that's your prayer, would you just repeat after me? God, I want to be used. God, I want to be used. Send me. Send me.